Jeremiah chapter 26. Are you there? Bible there? In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. You may recall in chapter 7, the Lord said to Jeremiah, You go and you stand at the gate of the temple. That's where, remember, and he went and he preached that message right at the gate, because that's where everybody has to come in and everybody has to go out, and a lot of people on those holy days, and he would preach at the gate. Now what God says is, I want you now to go inside. The message kind of tags on to chapter 7 through 10. And God says, what I want you to do now is I want you to go and I want you to stand in the court. Stand in the middle of it all, right in the middle area of the temple. So you've already preached now at the gate, people coming in and out. Now go in the middle where everybody will be waiting in line for their turn for sacrifice or whatever is going on. You stand and you preach right there. I want to make sure everybody hears what I've got to say. You know, I know that so many are worried, and you hear the worry in their voice when you try to witness to them. You've heard it. You're trying to get to tell them they need Jesus, and they are so worried about all those who will never hear. You've heard them say that, haven't you? Well, what about all those? Like they really care. And most of them, probably 99.99999, they don't care. What they want to do is get the pressure off of them, take you off of their own heart and get you looking somewhere else. Well, what God says is, I want to make sure everybody hears. Because I want everybody to hear. So you stood in the gate and you preached. Everyone's coming in and out, men, women, and the children. Now I want you to go stand in the court area, the main court area inside the temple. I want to make sure everybody hears. Don't you worry about God. God will make it known, His word, clearly. God will make sure everyone has a chance. No one's going to stand there on the judgment day and say, I never had a shot at it. You never gave me a chance. You're not going to hear that at the judgment. You'll be at the judgment, but you'll be on the other side of the bar. You know, it's a courtroom, and the judge is on this side, and you'll be on that side with him at that great white throne judgment. And there will no one come up and say, man, I lived way down there in South America, and no one ever told me. You won't hear that. God says, you go and you stand in the court. And he says, speak the message that I've commanded you to speak. Do not diminish a single word. I like that. That's good. To diminish means to hold back or to make weaker or smaller. God says, I don't want you to make my message weaker than it is. I mean, it sounds pretty tough. And people might not appreciate it, but I don't want you to couch it in pretty words. Just say what I said. People today say, you know, I try to witness and I don't want to offend anyone. Well, then keep your mouth shut. Because as soon as you speak the word of God, people are offended. It offends them. They don't want to hear this. You know, you are a sinner. You are headed for hell. You know, there are not too many ways you can say that. But that's exactly what God says. Turn around. Turn or burn. Fly or fry. Get right or get left. That's what God says. And he says to Jeremiah, now don't you dare try to hold back on what I've told them. Don't you dare try to minimize what my word is. The message is important. If they don't heed this message, they will be destroyed. So don't hold back, being a little bit embarrassed, thinking they might not appreciate it. By the way, they are not going to appreciate it, and they're going to arrest him and try to kill him. God knew that up front. So he says, now whatever you do, Don't diminish my word. Don't hold back. Don't make it smaller. Don't try to couch God's word in really pretty, pillowy language. You speak the truth, and you speak it in love. Now, God says this, and you may misunderstand. In verse 3, he says, if so be, they will listen. He says, I'm hoping that they will listen and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil. Don't misunderstand. God doesn't have a need to repent. He's not a sinner. God is not a man that he should repent. Now, when God uses the word, he's not saying the same thing when you and I use the word or when he's talking about us. Don't think that he's human in any way at all. You see, what he means is, if they will turn, I will keep my promise. Here's my promise. If you will repent and turn back, I will not destroy you. If you will not repent, I will destroy you. There's my promise. If they will repent and turn around, then God says, I will not destroy them. I'll go the way of the blessing just as I promised them. He's not saying, well, if they repent, I might just change my mind. No, that's not how God works. God wants you and I to change our minds. He's perfect in every way. There's nothing in his mind that needs to change. So he's wanting his people to listen. And he wants everybody to hear. So you can see Jeremiah strutting on down to the middle of the court, right in the middle there, stands on a little box and starts to preach. And it goes over like a cement bicycle. Here's verse 4. This is what you'll say. Thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servant the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not listened, then will I make this house like Shiloh. Will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. He says, if you will listen, it'll be all right. But if you won't listen, which has been your tendency, then I'm going to make this city like Shiloh. You can go back and read through some of your Old Testament. I think you know, many of you, what happened to Shiloh. Shiloh, which was where the glory of the Lord was, the glory was departed from that city, and the city was destroyed. God says, I'll make this city, Jerusalem, just like the city of Shiloh. Destroyed. It'll be gone. The same thing's going to happen to this temple if you will not turn back. And he says, Jerusalem, your city, will be a curse to the whole world. And did they listen to him? No. And did the city of Jerusalem become a curse to the whole world, become a troubling stone, become a cup of trembling? And yes, it did. And as a matter of fact, if you'll take a look, it still is this very day. It is a curse to the world. Right now, much of the world's trouble centers around Israel. Much of America's trouble centers around standing by Israel. If you look over there today, the violence is flaring more than 6 months ago, more than 2 months ago. It's so out of control. Somebody in the news said, we need somebody to step in and bring peace. Well, isn't that what the Antichrist is going to do? Sure. You ask the Jewish people, as when you're there visiting, you ask them, what are you waiting for? They'll say the Messiah. How will you recognize him? They will tell you this, not by scripture. Their answer is, he will bring peace. So who do you think many of them will accept as their Messiah? The one called the Beast, the Antichrist. It's coming. See, Jerusalem is a curse now to every nation. And God said that he would make it that so. Well, after that message, you can imagine that was a real positive as he's speaking out loud there, right smack in the middle of the temple court area. Place is packed. So the priests, verse 7, and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now, it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking, when he was finished, an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, "Thou shalt surely die." They grabbed him, arrested him, said, "We're going to kill you. You're dying today." It wasn't Jeremiah's plan. That's how it goes, you know. "Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah there in the house of the Lord, in the temple area. They grabbed him, they arrested him, they want him put to death. They're going to kill him. "When the princes of Judah," verse 10, "heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears." You know, to them, it would be considered blasphemy to speak against the temple of the Lord and say it was going to be destroyed. It would be considered blasphemy to speak against the city of Jerusalem, where God said, "It's my holy city where I have placed my name." So they think that Jeremiah is speaking blasphemy. They want him dead. "You're going to die today." They grabbed him and said, "He should die." The leaders came out and sat in the gate. That's where you would hold court, there at the temple area. And the priests and the prophets said, "This guy deserves to die. He's blaspheming the Lord. He's speaking against this house, the temple of the living God. We got to kill him." Verse 12. "Then Jeremiah spoke in his own defense. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard." He says, "This isn't blasphemy. I am speaking exactly what the Lord told me to say." Remember what the Lord told him? "You say exactly what I told you. Don't you minimize. Don't you hold back. You speak exactly what my word says." And so Jeremiah says, "Don't kill me. This isn't blasphemy. I am speaking exactly what the Lord commanded me to speak. These are God's words that you just heard. Therefore, and because of that," verse 13, "amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good to you," or "good and meet to you." That means good and proper, or what's right and worthy to do. "But know ye for certain," verse 15, "that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me to speak unto you," or "unto you to speak all these words in your ears." He's defending himself. "So the Lord himself sent me to speak these words to you. And since you've heard the words, then it's time to do something about them. You need to amend your ways." That, in our language, we would say repent. You need to turn around and come back to the Lord. You need to change your ways, change of heart. "And it's time to do it now," he says. And then what does the psalmist say? "Turn back, O man. Forswear thy foolish ways." Turn back now before it's too late. Now, you have to keep something in mind. The false prophets were saying that the Lord would not destroy the temple. They were saying the Lord will not destroy the city, which is just the very opposite of what Jeremiah is saying. Now, everybody, the people, everybody's got a decision to make. Who do you listen to? There are a bunch of them out there saying one thing, and here's this one guy that nobody likes saying just the opposite. Who's right? He says you need to listen to the Lord. And the people and the priests and those false prophets, of course, they listened to the false prophecies instead of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah warns them. He says, I'm in your hands. I mean, you've arrested me. There's nothing I can do about this. So I am in your hands. That's the truth. And you can do what you think is best today with me. If you kill me, I guess that's up to you. But keep this in mind. You would be guilty of more innocent blood. And God says that he will take vengeance on all those who spill or shed innocent blood. And he said, that's what you would be doing. He goes on. He's finished. Well, not literally, but. Then said the princes, that would be the leadership, and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Moreshethite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion will be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high priest of a forest. And they asked the question, did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death at all? Did they kill Micah for his message? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against him? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. The leaders stand up, and they side with Jeremiah, and even the people, the common people. They side with Jeremiah against the priests and the false prophets and the rulers there of the temple. They say, Jeremiah has done nothing that deserves death. He doesn't deserve to die. And then, of course, they quote from chapter 3 of the book of Micah. They say, Micah prophesied, and the king, King Hezekiah, who is a godly king, he listened to the prophet. And instead of putting the prophet to death, he repented, and God had mercy, showed mercy. Remember back there with Hezekiah. And there was also a man, verse 20, that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against the city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. In other words, he said the same things Jeremiah said. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, verse 21, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled, ran away to Egypt. Jehoiakim, the king, sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him unto Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. So they make a point. First they quote from Micah chapter 3, and they say, Micah said that, and the godly king Hezekiah listened to Micah, and we were spared. On the other hand, Urijah, he spoke, and an ungodly king, Jehoiakim, had him tracked all the way down to Egypt, brought him back, and put him to death. And we've paid a price for that. So we should leave Jeremiah alone, not put him to death. Nevertheless, verse 24, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him to the hand of the people to put him to death. Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. Shaphan was King Josiah's secretary. Remember, King Josiah was a good, godly king. So this son of the king's secretary, he took Jeremiah's part. He took his side. And Jeremiah, by the grace of God, this day in chapter 26 was delivered. So they did not put him to death. If you're wondering what happens to Jeremiah, they will put him to death eventually because of the message that he continues to preach. But here, God wanted him to continue a little longer. Notice, as we've noticed throughout Scripture, you're not finished. until God says, come on home. I mean, they may plot your death, but when they tried to arrest Jesus, it wasn't time, and he just walked through the midst of them. They couldn't see him. I don't know how. He just walked away. They dragged him to the edge of a cliff. We're going to throw him off, but he thought, no, it's not time. He walked away. They took up stones to kill him, but that's not how he was supposed to die. Wasn't time yet, so he walked away. And here Jeremiah says, I'm in your hands. I am under arrest. I don't have the strength to overpower all these guards and everything and get away. So I'm in your hands. You do what you feel you need to do. And somebody spoke up for him, took his part, and had a good enough argument where they let him go. Once again, showing me, we need to learn, you know, we are in the hands of the Lord. We are in his hands. We will do our times according to his word, not according to anyone else's. We trust in him. We walk with him. Jeremiah will be stoned to death eventually when it's time for him to go home. Chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which came to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me, or fit or worthy unto me. And now have I given all these lands to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the very time of his land come. Then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. Okay? So Jeremiah now, as you've seen him do in the past, he's going to kind of do a little bit of an illustrated sermon. The Lord said, make a yoke. A yoke is what they would make out of wood usually. And they would put it around the neck. They would link two oxen together in a yoke that they would work together and pull. So their necks would be stuck in there. I'm sure you've seen those in pictures or in real life if you've been around some farmlands. They'll yoke those oxen together and they'll pull. They'll work. So he says, Jeremiah, make a yoke and stick your neck in it. Walk around with it. I don't know, but he's got to get a picture. Poor Jeremiah headed, you know, to McDonald's for lunch. It's hard to get through the door. You got to turn sideways because your yoke is in the way. What are you wearing that for? You are so weird. You Christians are so weird. I just got to picture him walking around with a yoke around his neck. It's a living illustration. And he sent word. He was told, send word to the delegates from these other nations, these other countries, from Edom, from Moab, from Ammon, from Tyre, from Zidon. And you ask, what were they doing there? What were they doing in Jerusalem? All those ambassadors, all those messengers from those foreign countries, what were they doing there? Well, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had already laid siege to a lot of different places. And what they were doing is they were discussing banding themselves together to defend themselves and to revolt against the Babylonian armies. We're going to get together and we'll revolt against these armies. We're going to fight. We'll band together and a bunch of us nations will defeat them. God says, while all those ambassadors are in town, I want you to send a message to every one of them so they can take the message back to their king or to their president or whoever's in charge over their nation. And here's God's message to all those nations through the ambassadors. God says, I have made the earth, and I have made everything that's in it. And because I made it, it's mine to do with as I choose, and I choose to give it to someone. He says, I can give it to anyone I want. And I choose to give it to my servant Nebuchadnezzar. That's what I choose to do. What's the message? Don't take the message back to your king that we need to band together and revolt. You won't be happy with the results. In other words, he's my servant. I've chosen to give it to him. I created it all. It's his. Fighting against it would be fighting against me. You're wasting your time. You're going to be crushed. So use your heads and don't bother. That's what the ambassadors were to take back to all the... And you can imagine Jeremiah walking up to meet the ambassador. Got a yoke on his neck, you know. This half is full of him. And then there's... who's this guy coming? Jeremiah, man. And the guy's a bummer. Got a message for you. Oh, great. What is it? Go back and tell your king, my God says, I created every bit of this planet, everything on it. It's mine to give to who I choose, and I am giving it to Nebuchadnezzar. Don't fight it. Don't revolt. Don't rebel. You will bring sorrow and suffering, sword, pestilence, etc., on your own people. Don't do it. It's an easy message to understand. And came to pass. Verse 8. That the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord. With the sword, with famine, with pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. His would be the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets. Don't listen to your prophets, nor to your dreamers. Diviners. Nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from the land, from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. But the nation that brings their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. That's the rest of the message to the messengers, to the ambassadors, to take back to their king. The Lord's message is clear. Surrender to the king that is coming, or suffer destruction. Anyone who bows down to the coming king, Nebuchadnezzar, will be given life. I'll let you stay in your land, not Israel, but all those surrounding nations. I'll let you keep your land. You'll be able to till it. You'll be able to work the land and farm it. If you will listen to me and place your necks under the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, you can imagine that message coming from Jeremiah. Stick your neck in the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar, and you'll be fine. And he's walking around with a yoke on his neck, like he's a dumb ox. If you choose not to listen, destruction will follow, of course. Verse 12 says, I spoke also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words. I told him the same thing, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. That's the message of God. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, don't listen to the words of the prophets that speak unto you, And they say, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that you might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. That's an amazing message. And I am convinced that the message today from the Lord is the same. Don't listen to the prophets, because I believe many of them are prophesying lies to us. It is time now to listen to the Lord. Time now to open our Bibles, to get back where we belong, and listen directly to the Word of God. That's what we're warned in Deuteronomy 13. We're warned in Deuteronomy 18. The people didn't heed the warning, and they're going to be destroyed because of it. Suffering, ugliness, misery. Those kinds of things are still coming. The prophets, he says, are lying to you. God says, if you will put your neck in the yoke of the king of Babylon, you will live. The prophets said just the opposite. Don't put your neck in the yoke of the king of Babylon. No, that would, God doesn't want you to do that. Fight him. Stand up. God will deliver you. God says they're lying to you. Don't listen to the prophets. They're prophesying lies. They are false prophets. And then he says something that they should hearken to. He says, believe me when I tell you, I didn't send them to you. I sent Jeremiah. I did not send these others. Earlier on in the book of Jeremiah, we learned that they get these thoughts, they get these dreams, they get these ideas. And he says, those aren't coming from me. They're coming from their own hearts. You know, and today, again, there are programs that you can listen to on the radio. And the guy will say, I'm a prophet, and the Lord took me to heaven, and in heaven this is what I saw. And you'll hear him speak, and you'll hear him go directly against what you've read in Scripture. You'll hear, wait a minute, Scripture says something almost just the opposite of what you're saying. I will listen to the Lord. I'll turn the radio off. I won't even listen to you. You know, one false prophecy makes you a false prophet. One, just one. You can't come up and say, oops, I blew that one. Oh, man, that was it for you. Your last shot, that is it. God requires of his prophets 100% accuracy because he's God. There is nothing less. 100% accuracy. If you are at 99.9, you are a false prophet. I would be careful if I were you about speaking and saying, this is a prophecy the Lord gave me, because what you're saying is this is directly from the Lord. What if it's not? You've placed yourself into a pretty awkward position, haven't you? Also, you've placed a lot of other people in a pretty awkward position. They should stone you to death. Of course, we don't do that anymore. We're very polite. Or in Deuteronomy 18, they should not be afraid of you at all and make sure that they listen to you no more. No more. Joseph Smith, early on in that cult ministry that he began, prophesied and the prophecies did not take place. Early on, he should have been dismissed and not listened to evermore. But it goes on and on and on. The Watchtower, which is the prophet spokesman for the Jehovah's Witnesses, is a false prophet, speaking prophecies that are false, have not come to pass. The world didn't end in 75, and etc. And we know that because we're still here. So at that point, of course, it was way before 75 that you didn't want to listen to that. At that point, though, if you figure 75, at that point, you listen to them never again. You don't fear them, and you pay no attention to them ever again. Don't put yourself into a position where you have placed yourself there where others will not listen to you anymore, which is what the command of the Lord is. He says, I haven't sent them. Do not listen to them. That's a command from God. Do not listen to them. What's amazing to me is his people listened to them anyway and wouldn't listen to God. And you always know what's coming. And you and I do that. Also, verse 16. I spoke to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets. They prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not to them, serve the king of Babylon, and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? Why should we let the city be destroyed? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, concerning the pillars, and concerning the sea, and concerning the bases, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. And then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. So he warns the priests who work inside the temple area. Remember, the job of the priest was to run the temple area, the inside. The high priest would actually even go into the Holy of Holies. The priest's job were 24/7 to take care of the house of the Lord. So he warns the priests, do not listen to the prophets, for they are false prophets. They are prophesying lies. Here's what the prophets told the priests. Here's what the prophets said to the people. The vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had already taken from the Lord's house, he left some things, but he took quite a bit. Those vessels that he took from the temple will soon be brought back. That's what the prophets said. Now, you and I already know when those vessels are going to come back. When are they coming back? It'll be 70 years after the city is destroyed. Far from soon. They'll soon be brought back. Just the opposite would happen. Not only will those that are taken not be brought back, but God says the furnishings that were left would soon, Nebuchadnezzar would send army, more troops in, and soon take the rest of it away. Whereas the prophets were saying the things that were taken are going to come back. God says, no way. As a matter of fact, what's left will be taken next, which ought to make everyone see that these are false prophets. And you think once they see they're false prophets, they wouldn't listen. But for some reason, people are hard-headed, and they still continue to listen to the false prophets. But notice, God says, here is a prophecy. When the Lord's judgment is fully done or complete, when his word was fulfilled, he says, then we'll bring all those utensils and all the furnishings back. And of course, you can read about that in the book of Ezra, book of Jeremiah. I'm sorry, Nehemiah. Do chapter 28, we'll be done. It's a short one. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, remember that number, it's in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people. In other words, this prophet, Hananiah, spoke to me publicly in the temple area. He said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from the place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So here, we meet one of the false prophets by name. His name is Hananiah. He speaks a false prophecy here in the name of the Lord. And Jeremiah, because it's a false prophecy, makes it a point for us to note the date. So you see the beginning of the chapter, Jeremiah notes the date for us. It's important to note the date because this prophet said within 2 years, all the stuff will come back. The king will come back and Nebuchadnezzar, the yoke will be broken. We won't be under them anymore. Within 2 years, in 2 full years. He made that statement August, September of the year 593 B.C. in the fifth month. Hananiah, we learn, is from Gibeon. His father was a prophet, so maybe he felt like he was supposed to be. I don't know. Obviously no calling here, but he's a false prophet. And so about 6 miles northeast of Jerusalem is where he comes from. Now, notice again, because you can't ignore this, notice that Hananiah's message directly contradicts Jeremiah's message. Notice that. Jeremiah says 70 years. And no less, because of the Sabbath years that were missed, 70 years, no less. And all the things that are gone now won't be returned, but the rest of it will be taken out and away. And anybody who doesn't submit their neck under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar will be destroyed. Hananiah says, no, 2 years, everything will be back, the king will be back, all the captives will be back, 2 years. God will break the yoke of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, will be free. Now, you've got the message of Hananiah, and you've got the message of Jeremiah. If you lived back there in 593, almost 600 years before Jesus was born, if you lived there, who would you listen to? Because both men claim to be prophets of the Lord, and both men have given you just the opposite, thus saith the Lord. What do? Pick the message that you like the best? Well, I like Hananiah's message. That's pretty good news. 2 years and everything's going to be back to normal? I like that one. Jeremiah, he's a downer. He's been a downer since he began his ministry at about 20 to 21 years old. The guy's negative. I mean, you know, he's just, I don't know, maybe he's got low blood sugar all the time. The guy is bummer. You listen to him and you walk away just wanting to put sackcloth on and weep. Matter of fact, Jeremiah, you see him downtown a lot, got a yoke around his neck crying. Weird guy wears a yoke around his neck. It's embarrassing. His family doesn't want him around. Look the way he dresses. Who would you listen to? Don't you wonder sometimes? Don't you wonder? All the voices that you could listen to today, who do you listen to? Because if you don't read your Bible, if I don't read my Bible, we're just picking and choosing the message that we like. That was a positive one. I like that one. That's neat. I don't know, listen to that guy today. That was kind of a downer. I don't like listening. He's a downer. Which would you listen to? You've been given a privilege. And that is, we've been given, and that is to have the Word of God, that we can actually hold on to it, read it for ourselves, and not take that guy's word for it, that a submarine will attack America. But actually listen to God himself and see what God says. We can go and look and read it over and over and say, wait a minute, is that what he says? That's what we can read it from cover to cover, which we ought to do. We can slowly get it all in context. The entire counsel of God's will and God's word. The entire counsel. Not just little parts that are our favorites, but the whole counsel of God. Hananiah prophesied that this rebellion would be quick and would be followed by restoration. Within 2 years, he says, This is what God says. Within 2 years, he'll bring back Judah. He'll bring back the king, all the captives. He'll bring back all the articles that have been taken from the temple, and they'll be put back in the Lord's house. The king will come back, all the captives, and we're going to live happily ever after. That's what God says. Verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah, uh-oh, fight, fight. Two prophets, both claiming to speak for the Lord. Both of them can't be right. Their messages are so opposite, one of them must be wrong. Must be. Jeremiah says to the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people, publicly, because Hananiah did this publicly in front of Jeremiah. Jeremiah says publicly, even the prophet Jeremiah said, verse 6, amen. Cool. That's what he says. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words, which you have prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear you, or you hear now, this word that I speak in your ears and in the ears of all the people. Now you listen to me. I like his attitude. That's a cool message. Wouldn't it be great? The Lord do all that and even more. That'd be great. Your message is so positive. I like it, Jeremiah says. Can't complain about the message. I like that message. He says, you better listen to me. Hear now the word that I speak in your ears and in the ears of all the people. This is publicly going on. The prophets that have been before me and before you of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. Your message doesn't fit in with the prophets of God that have come before us. Your message just doesn't fit in. It's different than all the prophets of God have been saying of old. The prophet, verse 9, which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. You hear what he's saying? Two prophets with two different messages. Only one of them can be right. Hananiah says 2 years. Jeremiah says 70. They can't both be right. How do you determine? Jeremiah tells you here how to determine. He reminds us of Deuteronomy 18. Jeremiah says, okay, now to see which one of us is right, time will tell. Only time will tell. Now you got to wait 2 years. You have to wait 2 years if you want to know if Hananiah is a false prophet. You have to wait. Notice God's not in a hurry, although Hananiah is going to die in a few minutes. But Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 22, tells us that very thing. Says we have to wait to see if what the prophet says comes to pass. If it doesn't, he is obviously a false prophet. If it does come to pass, Deuteronomy 13 says, still doesn't make him a right-on prophet. There are other things you're looking for. In other words, you're looking for solid doctrine. So you put Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18 together. But in 18, the verses I read to you, specifically state, if what the prophet prophesies does not come to pass, he's a false prophet. I was at a church one time where the man was obviously a false prophet. I mean, I could tell it by just listening to him try and teach the Bible. He didn't know it. He didn't know the word, and he was wrong. Congregation of about 40 people, we were sitting there, Gene and I, and we were listening to this guy, and I thought, this guy's a mess. And I thought, well, I'm going to leave here today. I'm never coming back. I'm not coming back to this place. This is a waste of my life. I'm not coming back. But he said something that made me come back. Because he said to a girl in the front row that if she didn't clean up her act, the Lord just spoke to me and said, if you don't straighten up your life, in 2 weeks you will be dead. And I thought to Gene, well, we got to come back for a couple weeks at least. She remained a stripper. And she was still alive way after he was run out of town. You know, after 2 weeks, she did not die. She was making more money. And all those people stayed and continued to listen to him. All those people, at that point, listen closely, were in rebellion to the Word of God. In disobedience, literally, to God's Word. I don't think you want to do that. Jeremiah says this. Okay, cool. Your message is great. Sure different than mine. So, time will tell. The true prophet from the false. Time will tell. And Hananiah, verse 10. Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. He just took that wooden yoke, took it off his neck, said, this is stupid, this is not of the Lord, and he broke it, probably threw it down on the ground, busted it into pieces. And Hananiah spoke in the presence, verse 11 says, of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so, or just like this, will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Oh, good. Don't have to wear this yoke anymore. Cool. Hananiah takes the yoke. He's kind of upset. He's a little bit mad because Jeremiah says, great message. Real positive. But time's going to tell which one of us is telling the truth. Time will tell which one of us is speaking for the Lord. Hananiah gets a little upset, grabs that yoke, takes it off Jeremiah's neck, throws it on the ground and breaks it and said, that's how God's going to do it. He's going to break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar within 2 years, 2 full years. Jeremiah didn't say anything. He thought, whatever. He walked on home. Smart, huh? Guess he could have stood there and fought with him. Because that's sometimes our tendency. We want to fight. We want to argue. There is no need. There is no need. I've had people come to me, they want to argue. Why do you think this? Or why do you say, where is it? And I say, you know, I'm not even interested in talking to you. Let's just see what God does. You call the church office, let me know. Let's just see what God does. I'm not going to spend my time fighting with you over these issues. Time's going to show us. So Jeremiah walks off. No need to fight. Time is going to reveal all truth. Verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet. After Hananiah, the prophet, had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah. And this is what the word of the Lord said. Go. Here's a message I got for Hananiah. Uh-oh. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but you shall make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. I got a message, Jeremiah. I want you to take this message to the prophet Hananiah. Tell him this. You've broken a wooden yoke, but it's going to be replaced with a yoke of iron. You won't break that one. And I think Jeremiah was thinking, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to wear the yoke of iron around town. Be heavy. I just made that part up. But anyway, he says the yoke of iron would be fastened. Not these nations won't have a choice. Will be fastened to all the nations, and they will be forced to serve Nebuchadnezzar. That's the word of the Lord to Hananiah. And Hananiah just said in 2 full years, won't happen. So watch this. Then said the prophet Jeremiah, verse 15, to Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, listen to this. The Lord hath not sent you, but you make the people to trust in a lie. You're a liar. You're a false prophet. You're not of the Lord. The Lord hasn't sent you. Therefore, or because of that, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast you from off the face of the earth. This year you shall die. Ooh. Because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Oh, now who's the false prophet? Jeremiah says to Hananiah, God has not sent you. You're a liar. And you're lying to God's people. You're causing God's people to rebel. The people are trusting in your lies. So God says he's going to remove you from off the face of the earth. Woo. You'll die this year. Of course, now that was a prophecy from Jeremiah. If it didn't come to pass, Jeremiah would have been a false prophet, wouldn't he? Woo. How long did Hananiah live after that prophecy took effect, or after that prophecy was given? The beginning of the chapter, it was in the fifth month. The end of the chapter, he died in the seventh month. Not even 4 months later, Hananiah was taken off the face of the earth. Who's the true prophet and who's the false? Jeremiah is a prophet of God. And the truth is, the message of God may sound negative to you and I, but it's not. It was in love, it was in grace, it was in mercy that the Lord God said, come back to me. Turn back to the Lord your God. Bring your heart back now. I know that you're listening to all kinds of things out there, God says, but quit listening. Come back to my word. Because the things you're hearing, they're not all true. They're false. They're coming from false places. You've got to listen to my word. And the people didn't want to do that. And everybody saw that Jeremiah was the true prophet sent by the Lord. And Hananiah was a false prophet. Hananiah's dead now. And what amazes me, and it kind of shows me and you how we are. What is amazing is they continued to listen to the other prophets and not to Jeremiah. They continued to listen to the things they wanted to hear. In the last days, the Bible says people will have itching ears. And don't we? If we're not careful. They want to hear the exciting things. They do. And so teaching some parts of the Bible really draws a crowd. And teaching some parts of the Bible really pushes a crowd away. Teach through the book of Psalms verse by verse, and I'll guarantee you the crowd will almost be dead by Psalm 150. And even those that loved it are going, thank you, Lord, this is done. Yet it's all God's word, isn't it? Tell the crowd, you know, after we finish this book, we're going to do Leviticus. You can believe that they're going to have to, they got a dental appointment, they're going to be busy. Leviticus is exciting. It's just that when we read it, we don't know it. And so we have to really pay attention to what's going on. But when you start noticing what's going on, it's a thrill. You learn a ton of things about the resurrection. You learn all kinds of things about the Lord and how he works and how he thinks and how he operates. And you learn that all in Leviticus when you're talking about what you can eat things that have these kind of feet. You can't eat things with cloven hoof. You can't eat things that come out of the water that have shells. You can't eat those kinds of crusty fish and thing. And you start saying, what does that matter to who and why and what's that got to do? And it's amazing. A lot of people never find that out because as soon as they hear it's Leviticus or Numbers, they think, well, I'll come back when we get to Revelation. Sometimes the message seems ugly, but it's not. There's a grace there and there's a hope there. God says, turn now and I will let you keep your land and I will bless you and I will take care of you and I'll be your God. People wouldn't listen. We have an opportunity to preach God's word, to speak out God's word. That's what we ought to do. Learn it, know it, And when someone asks you, what do you think about abortion? Don't even go there. Just say, God's word says. What do you think about homosexuality? What are your feelings on? You say, look, here's what God's word says. Because that's what people need to hear. Not my opinion, your opinion, what we think. But what does God's word say about these issues? That's what's going to count in the long run. Read your Bibles. That's what we all need to do. Read our Bibles. Pray. Stay in fellowship. Encourage one another. When you listen to the prophets, listen closely. Don't assume. Don't judge. Because time will tell. God reveals. And you can tell a lot from a prophet by the way they handle the Word of God. Many of them, I listen to a lot of them on the radio, and they handle the Word of God. They mishandle it. Oh, amazingly. It's embarrassing. So it gives you a clue of where else they might have come from and what they're all about. Not to judge, but, you know, it's our responsibility to listen and learn. Pray about these things. Go back and read through those three chapters again. See what they say. Let's bow our heads.